And now some truly American tidbits. In honor of the upcoming President's Day holiday, we've decided to examine that most slippery of personality traits in our commanders-in-chief, their humor. After all, it was President Lincoln who had this famous comeback. "If I were two-faced," he said, "would I be wearing this one?" Well, over the years, American presidents have used or attempted to use humor to charm their supporters and to disarm their adversaries. Malcolm Kushner is the co-creator of a humor exhibit at the Ronald Reagan Presidential Library. He also produced a 6-cassette series devoted to the humor of Presidents Kennedy, Johnson, Ford, Carter, Reagan, and Bush. Malcolm Kushner joins us from his home in Santa Cruz, California. Good morning.
Good morning.
Malcolm Kushner, humor isn't the first quality we associate with our presidents. How important is that, humor?
Oh, I think it is. Do you want a president that doesn't have a sense of humor? And I distinguish between having a sense of humor and being funny. We don't want the president to be funny and hilarious. We'd elect a comedian. But we want the president to have a sense of humor, to have a balanced perspective.
What do you look for in that sense of humor?
Probably the most important trait, I think, is an ability to poke fun at themselves. Think of Jimmy Carter. Now, people may say he had a cruel sense of humor to the extent that he made a lot of jokes about his brother Billy. For people who are too young to remember that, Billy ran a gas station. He was kind of the relative that everybody had somewhere in their family. But I think Jimmy Carter wasn't cruel because anybody who had Billy as a brother would have made a lot more jokes about him than Jimmy Carter did.
I had been anticipating the inaugural ceremonies and parade for a long time. I could see the burst of glory that would come to me at the conclusion of the ceremonies, and I could hardly wait as we entered the limousine at the conclusion of the oath ceremony and got out on Constitution Avenue, and all of us very quietly left the limousine, and I started walking down the highway and streets and could hear the vast crowd saying, "Look, look, look." And I was feeling very good until they said, "There goes Billy's brother."
Now, is that a representative of a lot of Jimmy Carter's humor?
Well, that's some of it, but the shock to people, I'd like to meet these pundits who've written a lot that he had no sense of humor or cruel sense of humor. He's poking fun at himself there. It's allegedly he never did that.
Well, let's listen to Ronald Reagan. That was his fort, wasn't it, to tell a joke?
Absolutely.
It reminds me of a favorite little story of mine about a career naval officer who finally got his 4 stripes, became a captain, and then was given command of a giant battleship. And one night he was out steaming around the Atlantic when he was called from his quarters to the bridge and told about a signal light in the distance. And the captain told the signalman, "Signal them to bear to starboard. And back came the signal from ahead asking, or saying, "You bear to starboard." Well, as I say, the captain was very aware that he was commander of a battleship, the biggest thing afloat, a pride of the fleet, and he said, "Signal that light again to bear to starboard now." And once again, back came the answer, "Bear to starboard yourself." Well, the captain decided to give his unknown counterpart a lesson in seagoing humility, so he said, "Signal them again and tell them to bear to starboard. I am a battleship." And back came the signal, "Bear to starboard yourself. I'm a lighthouse."
Do you think that joke reflects on some of Ronald Reagan's other stances at the time as the Cold War was coming to an end there?
Well, it might have, but I think in the context of the speech that I remember that came from, he was talking about like the arrogance of certain bureaucrats and that type of thing. And that's the point. I think the reason that certain presidents tell jokes and certain presidents don't is because some can and some can't. But the ones that tell the jokes are usually using them to make some point, or you're poking fun at yourself to build goodwill. And I'd say there's certain situations where really that's your only choice. Gerald Ford got tagged with couldn't walk and chew gum at the same time. What could he do about it? He fought it with humor. There's a line on the tape where he's at the Yale sesquicentennial celebration, and he says, "I'm happy to be here at the Yale sesquicentennial celebration." I dare anyone to chew gum and say that at the same time. I mean, you know, he fights back with humor. He really doesn't have another choice. So I think that's okay. I think people like that.
And here's Gerald Ford telling a story, I believe, about UPI correspondent Helen Thomas.
I can remember several years ago when I was still a congressman, Helen and I were walking down Pennsylvania Avenue when we passed one of those scales that gives you your weight as well as your fortune, and all for a penny. Helen said, well, why don't you try it? I might get a scoop. So I got on the scale, put in a penny, a card came out and it said, you are handsome, debonair, sophisticated, a born leader of men, a silver-tongued orator, and someday you will make your own mark in history. Helen leaned over, looked at the card, and said, it has your weight wrong, too.
And that's a perfect example. Okay, Gerald Ford, you could just hear from his delivery, the guy's not what you'd call a natural. But what's the value of Ford doing something like that? Here he is. He came in after Richard Nixon resigned in the Watergate scandal, and Nixon was called the imperial presidency and all the distrust that followed that. And here comes someone like Ford who's poking fun at himself, something I don't know if Nixon ever did, and that reassures the country. That's sending a message right there that he's willing to do stuff like that.
Did George Bush, the former president, and his son have similar senses of humor?
What the two have seem to have in common so far is the way they mangle the English language. A lot of people go, it must be genetic, but Bush Sr. used to tell jokes about that, and then he would give examples of other famous people who had done that, usually Yogi Berra. Bush II, or Bush Jr., whatever we call him now, has given indications that he will use humor. I liked his line in the, it was the end of the second debate with Gore.
I look forward to the final weeks of this campaign. I'm asking for your vote. For those of you for me, thanks for your help. For those of you for my opponent, please only vote once.
He may not have known he was setting us up for another punchline down the road,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, really. It kind of turned out to be kind of ironic. But at the time, see, that anybody can use that type of humor. And I think we like and trust people more who do that. I mean, the only president I've seen so far who seems to not use humor very much is Richard Nixon. Now, is that a coincidence? You decide.
Malcolm Kushner, thank you so much for joining us today.
Oh, thank you.
Malcolm Kushner is co-creator of a humor exhibit at the Ronald Reagan Presidential Library. He spoke to us from his home in Santa Cruz, California. And we end with three more examples of presidential wit, Johnson, Kennedy, and one other.
Throughout my life, I've determined that things usually happen for the best. For example, Lady Bird was flying out to Cleveland the other day, and her plane was struck by lightning. But even that had one salutary effect. Now she's willing to drive with me again.
As General de Gaulle occasionally acknowledges America to be the daughter of Europe, so I am pleased to come to Yale, the daughter of Harvard. It might be said now that I have the best of both worlds, a Harvard education and a Yale degree.
This is an impressive crowd, the haves and the have-mores. Some people call you the elite. I call you my base.